James chapter 1, verse 12. Let me get. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I want to talk about enduring temptation tonight. Most of us think when we hear that word enduring that it means to just hunker down and take whatever's coming. But that's not what it means. That Greek word used there actually means to undergo, to persevere, to have fortitude, to carry on through, or here's the best one, to leave behind, or to leave behind you that temptation. When you endure the temptation, you have gone through it and left it behind. You have not succumbed to it. You have not given yourself over to it and did the temptation. You have endured it, working through it. Amen? God doesn't want us to struggle with a temptation. He wants us to endure it, to pass through it, to be enriched from it, and know how to handle the next tougher one that's coming. Let's go on to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Let's settle it right now. Temptation doesn't come from God. It does not come from God. Period. Over and out. Temptation comes from really two major places. And until you're born again, there's really only one place that temptation comes from. It comes from the lusts and the desires of the flesh until you're born again. Turn over to, hold your place in James and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Actually, let's go to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Listen carefully. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Somewhere in that list, just about every one of those things can be traced back to a lust or a desire. And they're of the flesh. So, an unregenerated man knows temptation through his flesh. Now, what's interesting is, let's go back to James. And let's continue on. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. King James uses the word lust there instead of desires. And I looked this up, and what that means is, in the Greek, when he is tempted by his own desires for the forbidden. When they put it in the New King James, they left off part of the translation. Is drawn away by his own desires for the forbidden. What's forbidden becomes a desire. That becomes a lust. Amen? You can see this in Galatians chapter 4 also. If you want to hold your place and look at Galatians chapter 4. Paul talks about it. The fact that this temptation works in the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul came and said, "You know that because of my physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel." If you have a King James, or New King James, they use the word trial there. Don't know why they translated it that way. It is the same Greek word that is translated everywhere else, except here in one other place, as temptation. Maybe they thought it read better. But it's a temptation that he was talking about. A temptation in his flesh. Temptation feeds on weaknesses. Temptation feeds on lusts. It feeds on desires. It feeds on lack of character. And if you succumb to it, or if you give yourself over to it, it will eventually kill you. James chapter 15, once again. "Then when desire or lust has conceived," that's when you've given yourself over to it, when you've allowed that temptation to take you and stray you from what you should be doing into what it's tempting you to do, and you carry it out, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings death. God doesn't want us tempted. Temptation brings death. Why would God bring temptation to you? It's not from God. Verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And I think he should have finished it. We are all going to be tempted. Temptation is everywhere. Just because you became a Christian, just because you made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't think that temptation went away. In fact, when you became a Christian, when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, you just inherited a second form of temptation. You not only have those temptations of the flesh that are desires and lusts and things of the world, now you are subject to the same temptations that Jesus was tempted with. And that's from the devil. And he's going to come at you with a force that you have never felt before. He is a roaring lion. And he will come at you blindsided. You won't even see it coming until it slaps you. And if you are not ready, if you are not prayed up, if you are not walking in the Spirit, that temptation will take you out. Temptation comes from the devil. Even Jesus himself was tempted of the devil. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." And that's when the devil really came and started tempting him, because now he has a need. He's hungry. And you've read the story. He comes at Jesus, "Make these stones into bread if you're really the Son of God." You know, if you were hungry after not eating for 40 days, don't you think that'd be a temptation? Especially since we know he could do it. Yeah. Jesus is the only man that walked the face of the earth that did not let himself be tempted to the point of succumbing to that temptation. Every one of us has succumbed to temptation at some time or other, or will in the future. Jesus is the only man, that walked the face of the earth that did not. He knew how to handle it. He knew how to deal with it. Don't be tempted by the tempter. See, he'll come to you just like he came to Jesus. And he'll come to you in various ways. He's sly. He's cunning. He'll wait till you're down. He'll wait till you're weak. He'll wait till you are at a vulnerable point, And that's when he's going to come. He's not going to come after you when you're strong, because he knows he can't win then. Amen? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Just another example here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. See, God doesn't want us to be unaware of what Satan's doing out there. And so here in 2 Corinthians, he warned them, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. You've got to know about him. You've got to know how he works in order to be able to counter him. You've got to know that he's going to come and tempt you. See, too many Christians, when they get born again, believe that that's it. I can't be tempted anymore. They get delivered from alcohol or drugs or tobacco. Maybe when they're born again, they get delivered on the spot. And a month or so down the road, they're being tempted by it again and they don't know what's going on. Well, temptation's never going to cease. As long as we're walking this earth in a physical body, we're going to have temptation. We just have to know how to deal with it. We have to know how to endure it, how to walk through it and come out the other side. Amen? Satan will try to get us to do things that would make us of no use to the Father. He will try to get us to do things that will nullify our position, where we can't go to the throne room with God. Well, we can't have communion with God, because if we do what he's trying to talk us into doing, we're in sin, we're in rebellion, and that's what caused him to fall. And he knows that. So he's going to come at you to try to get you to do those things. Adam and Eve in the garden, he tempted Eve until she did what she was told not to. One simple disobedient act. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians for a minute. Chapter 3. Paul had planted some good seed in a church in Thessalonia, and it had gone away. And he's writing back to him here. He goes, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation. See? Paul's talking about being tempted, even himself. Even the great apostle Paul was tempted, people. Just as it happened, and you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might then be in vain. See, Paul was concerned after he left that Satan had got into their church and tempted them, and in doing so had nullified everything he'd done and cost them their faith. And he wanted to find out if that had happened or not so that he could correct it. Amen. I already said that temptation comes from Satan to try to steer us off the path that God has for us. Temptation also causes a falling away, which would be to steer you away from God, if you don't endure it and pass through it. Luke chapter 8. Verse 13. It's interesting that this is in the parable of the sower. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation they fall away. See, temptation will come to cause you to fall away. What do you fall away from? Fall away from God, fall away from the Word, fall away from your prayer life, fall, whatever. Anything that's to get you away from the plan of God for you. If he can confuse you and deceive you into doing something else, half his battle's won. Because now once he gets you in that fallen away mode, you become weak. And then you become vulnerable. And then when you're vulnerable, he'll strike with a force and a vengeance that'll take you out. And it'll take you out because you don't have the strength to fight back. Because you don't have the time, because he waited until you were vulnerable. So you can't let him get you there. You have to endure temptation and pass through it. Temptation will harden your heart. And that's a very bad thing, to let it harden your heart. Hebrews chapter 3. One of the worst things to try and recover from is a hardened heart. Because you've already been given a new heart by God, and then when you allow it to be hardened, it's very difficult to overcome that. You have to really work at it. A hardened heart will bring more things upon you than just about anything. And a hardened heart can be caused by a lot of things, but temptation is one of them. Let's look at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, or in the day of temptation in the wilderness. New King James says trial there. Here again, it's that same word in the Greek that's translated elsewhere, temptation. Where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. See, they hardened their hearts. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, that hardened heart is the basis for unbelief. It begins to grow and it begins to fester and it gets bigger and bigger and it turns your heart not only from a hardened heart but into an evil heart, and that unbelief is exactly the opposite of faith. So for every amount of unbelief you have, you've lost that much faith. And you have to not let that happen. So that's how he's going to use this to get you down into a weakened state where he can work on you. Amen? And remember, once you become a Christian, temptation comes from two major sources now instead of just one. You've got to deal with your flesh and its lusts and desires, and you've got to deal with Satan. And how many of you know that Satan may just use those desires too? Temptation is a snare. It'll snare you. A trap. A ploy. It's designed to pull you out of where you're supposed to be. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's begin with verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Good, I know that. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Gosh, if that's the case, why should there be any lust for money or lust for things? If I can't take anything out of this world with me, why should I want anything? God said He'd take care of all my needs anyways. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with all these, we shall be content. God will provide for His people, for His children. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And you know, I got tired of reading that word perdition without knowing what it meant. I'm glad I looked it up. It means spiritual or eternal destruction. So we're talking the first half is your flesh destruction. And then into perdition is spiritual destruction. So I'm glad I looked it up. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. See, there's that temptation for the love of money. And what did they do? They strayed from the faith. They let that, not the money itself, but the love of it, and want for more and more and more, take them away from the faith. Strayed from the faith in their greediness. Ooh. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There's one way to counter temptation right there. Fight the good fight of faith. When that temptation comes, bless God, I'm not going to be tempted. I know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody there? Verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. See, everything that happened to Christ, as far as, well, everything, but even I want to look at just the temptation side. Everything that happened to him, everything that he was tempted with and by, was written down so that we could read about it, so that we could learn from it, so that we could not allow the same thing to happen to us. God made Jesus our example. That's why he made Jesus a man who walked the face of the earth. I honestly believe that Jesus was a full-fledged man that did not have to rely on his deity when he walked the face of the earth. And he did that so that we would learn to walk the same way. He did no mighty miracles until the Holy Ghost came upon him. Amen. I definitely did no mighty miracles before the Holy Ghost. Amen. I did some mighty horrendous deeds. Amen. But I believe that that was the reason that God made him a man, so he could walk the face of the earth with us. He had to be just like us in every way in order for us to believe the things and the examples that he did. Now all these things, verse 11, happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's a warning right there. If you think you are above temptation, If you think you are without temptation or will never be tempted, you best take heed, because you're about to fall. Because if you're thinking that, number one, you're getting in pride. And pride comes before the fall. There isn't a man walking the face of the earth today, or woman, that is not, has not, or will not be in temptation again sometime before they get taken out of here. Every one of us goes through it. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to all men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that's why God says you must endure temptation. Because to endure means to pass through that temptation and not succumb to it. To work it out, to walk through it, to leave it behind you and go on, having defeated it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. The he here is Jesus, people. And the seed of Abraham are us. Jesus does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the children of God. Let's just change the words. They mean the same thing. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. He had to be flesh and blood. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So, there's help for us. There's an escape for us from temptation. And it comes through Jesus. And it comes in various ways. To different degrees. However you want to call it. Let's go over to chapter 4 for a minute. Right here in Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The only difference was he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You got temptation coming on you, and you need help, you go to the throne of grace. How do you get there? Koinonia with the Father. Prayer. Communion. In Luke 21, verses 34 and 36, Jesus talked about his disciples. He said to them, can you not watch and pray for 1 hour? That you may not fall into temptation. In Luke 22, verses 40 and 46, he said the same thing again. Can you not watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation? Watch. If you're watching and praying, you're not going to fall into temptation. Because you're going to be in communion with the Father. And that help, that escape that you need, is going to be there. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, if you're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, you're not fulfilling temptation, are you? So how do you defeat temptation? You walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Prayer. Pray in tongues. Read the Word. Live the walk. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, you don't wish to do the temptation. Your flesh does. You're a spirit. And your spirit man doesn't want to do those things. It's your flesh that does. That's hard for people to comprehend, that this body, I'm really not this body. I am a spirit. I live in this body. But this body has some control, or at least tries to take control sometimes, and thinks it can run things. And that's when you have to get into the Spirit more and prove it wrong. Sometimes it takes fasting with that prayer. Come on. You got to put the body under. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. We read all of those already. I'm not going to read them again. Come on. Down through 24. But the 22, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, self-control. There's a way to defeat temptation, self-control. Your flesh is lusting after something, you take self-control. Through the Spirit. Because by the flesh you won't be able to. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, but provoking one another and by envying one another. That's another form of lust, envy. It's another form of temptation. And I like what it says over in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus has promised to deliver us from temptation. Chapter 3, let's look at verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere. Let's stop for a minute. There's already a prerequisite. If we want to be delivered from temptation, He's already told us what we have to do. We have to keep His command to persevere or endure or press through or put that temptation behind us. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. He's already telling me I've got a crown. Don't let anybody take it. Now, verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. If we persevere, if we push through, if we stay hooked up in the Word, in prayer, fasting if we need to, visiting the throne of grace, meditating the Word of God, We will not have to go through the temptation that's coming on this world. Amen? And then endure, walk through, leave behind temptation to build a strong life. 1 Timothy one more time. Chapter 6 again. We need to take every temptation that comes along and first of all say, this is not from God. Therefore, I do not have to submit to it. Rule number one. Not from God, don't have to submit. Why? Because if it's not from God, it's either from the devil or it's from you. From your flesh. You don't want to submit to your flesh, and you're told to submit to God and resist the devil. So, temptation, not from God, resist it. Let's look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Not from God. Stand in faith. Don't submit. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Trust in the living God. Trust in the living God. Not temptation. Not in riches. Trust in the living God who gives richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The way that you store up that foundation that leads to eternal life is prayer, fasting, meditating the Word of God, spending time with Him, praising Him. Spending time with Him, praising Him, praying, spending time with Him, meditating the Word, spending time with Him. See what takes? Spending time with Him is the big thing. And you can spend time with Him while you're doing other things. I know you can. Walk around and pray in tongues. You're spending time with Him when you're doing that. Meditate His Word while you're doing other things. You're spending time with Him. But you need to do that to build up that foundation that's going to see you through to eternal life. God has given us a method of escaping temptation. But He's told us we have to endure that temptation when it comes. And it's just, you just have to see that endure doesn't mean lay down, roll over, and let the temptation take over. Endure means to walk through it, walk it out, leave it behind, having defeated it, and go on. How many of you in here are overcomers? Why are you an overcomer? By the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Number one, actually, by the blood of the Lamb, and then the word of your testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Everything in this book. Don't believe that temptation is not going to come. It's coming, or it's already here. And you have to endure it. Amen? Praise God. Are you blessed tonight? Amen.